ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, text number 13.
Yo maam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam chamayi pashyati, tasyaham na pranashyami, sachamena pranashyati.
For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna. A position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of the sight of the devotee. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita,
Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaramachintya Gunaswarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam.
I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyam Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi who sees the Lord as Paramatma within the heart, the same applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee who cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Recently, I was reading an article by His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj, called as Vraj Prem in Bhagavad Gita. So it was very interesting. That's why I took a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Especially he had spoken on this particular verse. So today we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Krishna. Even in this material world. Kunti Maharani wonders when she sees Krishna, saying that, "Oh Krishna, you are not to be found in this material world, because this is not your place." Just like sometimes you see a group of students kneeling down outside a class. You find a good boy who is a class monitor also kneeling down there. Naturally you'll be surprised how the good boy is around. He is not supposed to be in that crowd. Similarly, the material world is termed as a condemned place of suffering. And why should the Supreme Lord come and appear there? So Kunti Maharani is telling also that she says, it's surprising that you have come and appeared in this world, which is like a jail. But the Lord's coming is like a governor entering a jail, Prabhupada says. Just to check what the living entities are doing. Are they continuing to be mischievous? Or are they getting reformed? Are they preparing to return back to their original home? Also, the Lord comes for various reasons. Kunti Maharani gives so many reasons. He is coming to deliver the saintly people and destroy the miscreants. He is coming to perform colorful pastimes in this world so that they will be recorded for all time, for people to hear, speak, and remember and relish. So that even while living in this world, one can experience the spiritual world. Even while living in this world. Also, Krishna comes to please his devotees, like Vasudeva and Devaki, because they begged him to come and appear as a child in their home. And Krishna himself says in one place in Bhagavatam, he says, I am the propounder of all religious principles, and I am the practitioner of all religious principles, and I am the enforcer of all religious principles. So he speaks dharma, and there is a chapter called as Lord Krishna's daily activities. You will see he also practices dharma and he also enforces dharma. That's why Lord appears in this world. Also we can say Lord is appearing in this world out of compassion for us. Out of karunayaha. The word is used in the Bhagavatam also. Karunayaha means out of karuna for his own kith and kin, for his own children. Seeing that they have wandered away and to help reclaim them from such a fallen condition, he appears in this world. And he wants to give us a darshan of him. In fact, Prabhupada says elsewhere, he says that, there are many people who dismiss God, saying that because we cannot see him, maybe God doesn't exist. So to show those fools that don't think I don't exist, I'm here, he comes to show. There are yet other people who don't dismiss God, who claim that they accept God, but they say God is impersonal. Because we cannot see his form, they claim that God is impersonal, he has no face or hand or legs. Again, to defeat those fools, Lord appears and says, you don't know who I am? I am here. He comes and shows his form personally by coming. So Krishna comes like this for various reasons, innumerable reasons. If you read the prayers of Kunti, very beautiful prayers. And she's telling also that when you appear in this world, your activities may bewilder the common people. They may not understand you. Because you are God, but you behave like any other human being in this world. The verse which we read and the purport we read by Prabhupada, Prabhupada is talking very, very pure Krishna Bhakti philosophy in this purport, especially if you heard the sentences, one or two, I'll repeat some of them. It says here, a person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything resting in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of material nature, but in every instance he is conscious of Krishna. Knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy, nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. That is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. I will continue from where Vamshi Vadan Prabhu left yesterday, his last part of the lecture. He had taken a very important and interesting theme yesterday. Speaking on the yajnik brahmanas and their wives, how the wives of the Brahmanas were far greater devotees than those yajnik Brahmanas. And by rendering favorable devotional service, those wives, although they had never seen Krishna before, they had only heard about him, still they achieved his darshan very easily, even without being qualified and reciting the Vedic mantras or without becoming scholars. They were able to achieve the darshan. On the other hand, the yajnik Brahmanas, you will find that, you know, they were reciting the Vedic mantras and offering ghee in the sacrificial fire. For whom were they offering that ghee? That they had forgotten. They were offering the ghee for the Yajna Purush. And Yajna Purush has come to the garden along with Balram and other covered boys. He's waiting there. It's like a wife was worshipping the photo of her husband, you know, who had gone to the war. She was putting garland, she was showing Agarbati. She used to every day remember, but then the husband one day returned back from the battle victoriously, came and battered the door. She said, "No, I am too busy worshipping the photo, I have no time." How foolish it would be, huh? He is waiting right outside, calling the person whom she is worshipping. Like that, here they are offering ahuti in the Yajna Kund, but they don't know whom are they offering for. This is the meaning of ritual. So, when we understand the meaning of a ritual, it becomes spiritual. Otherwise, ritual remains a ritual. So, in fact, the Yajnik Brahmanas, their wives, when they went to offer the food to Krishna, Balram and covered boys, the Lord became very pleased. And He gave them a blessing that although you have left the home and brought this prasad and everything for me, when you return home, your husbands will accept you gratefully, happily. In fact, they will appreciate your devotion for me. And the Lord said, now you go home. The best way to have my darshan always is to hear about me, He said. Hear about me, chant my names and remember me. Then you will always enhance your love for me more and more. And they all returned back. And then the Brahmanas did glorify them very much. And then the Brahmanas thought, now we will go and seek forgiveness from Lord Govinda, who is there. Because you shouldn't take any offense from our behavior. So they all prepared themselves to go. But then one of them said, what if Kamsa comes to know that we had a meeting with Krishna Balaram? Then they all decided not to go. Better stay back. Because they were afraid of the king. Their fear of the king and lack of faith in Krishna is a proof that they were stuck in their karmakanda, sacrifices. They were not able to rise above it. You see, the karmi is actually, according to the Vedic text, karmi means not the karmi which we talk about. Generally, when we all say karmi, whom do we mean? A person who is a hardcore materialist. One who doesn't do any religion at all. But you will find the word karmi in the Shastra many places for karmakandi also. They are called as karmis. In what sense? They are materialistic because they only are, either they are aiming at heavenly planets. They want to go to heaven. Like that verse, kamatmana sargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. They want bhoga and aishwarya which is abundantly available in heaven. Like long life in heaven or opulent life with lot of enjoyment. So they aim at heaven. I used to wonder why intelligent Brahmanas should aim at heaven. Such a simple thing. Because when you go to heaven, you finish your punya and you come back. Even a child can understand it. Why can't they understand the simple fact and give up the ambition for heaven and then work for the spiritual world? I used to wonder. Later on, I got the answer for this question in one of the purports in Bhagavatam. It is said, these Brahmanas have more faith in destiny than in Krishna. They think even Krishna and Rama are subjected to destiny. They think like that. They think that the destiny is all-powerful and supreme. If you do good, you will get good. If you do bad, you will get bad. And the best thing you can do in your life is do good, go to heaven and reap all your punya, come back. Again do good, go to heaven. This is the best situation you can be in. Which means there is no end of cycle of birth and death. You keep going and coming in the cycle. They don't believe that there is a moksha beyond. Yeah, they keep going like this. This is the reason you'll find they are called as karma mimamsakas. They believe in doing punya and reaping the fruits of punya. But what's the problem? You know, somebody may say, do punya. In the modern times, it's very common. Be good, do good, don't harm others. This is a traditional Hindu philosophy in India. Even these boys, girls, when they go to America, they have the same philosophy. You know, why you people are so serious about Krishna consciousness? You know, be good, do good, don't harm others. Then, you know, God will not punish you. And everything will go on. In fact, it is more difficult to make a pious person into a Krishna conscious devotee than to make a hardcore materialist into a devotee. Because a hardcore materialist is at least frustrated. You can tell him, you are frustrated, no, please chant Hare Krishna. You can tell him. But a pious person is also enjoying life. You know, you tell him that we worship Radha Krishna. He says, we also have Radha Krishna at home. Yeah. And you say, we offer bhog. They also offer bhog. Yeah. We do puja and all. They say, we also do puja. But they are doing those activities by considering it as a ritual. Without understanding the position of Krishna. Without understanding the goal of life. Their goal of life is do nice business, lead a happy life. At the same time, be pious. That's all. Be pious. Come together and do some bhajan, because that also is entertaining. It's a spiritual entertainment. Their goal is not very clear for them. Their goal is simply to remain happy in this world. Yeah, these are karmakandis. Very difficult to preach to that class of people. Because therefore they also say that we don't eat meat, we don't drink wine, we don't do all those activities, and we are clean. Now we may wonder, what is the difference? Everything looks same. We are doing and they are doing, then what is the difference? In this, purport, Prabhupada makes the difference very clearly. For example, we have to see what are they orbiting around in their life. What is their heart orbiting around? Every one of us is in an orbit. Everyone is, like somebody is orbiting around buying a big bungalow somewhere. Somebody is orbiting around becoming a very big cinema actor or actress. Somebody is orbiting around becoming a national cricket player. Isn't it? Or somebody is orbiting around getting a CAT entrance and getting into IIM. Yeah. Somebody is orbiting around getting a foreign chance. Yeah. Somebody is orbiting around making a big fortune through some lottery or something. So, everyone has some aim. And along with that, they can have all these things. They may also have Radha Krishna deity at home. They may follow the four regulative principles and everything. But where the heart is, that's the question. Where is their heart? On the contrary, we can say that even though somebody may be not born in a very pious family, somebody might have been a materialist, somebody might have broken all the four regulative principles also, but somehow or other they develop some fondness for Krishna. Their goal is very clear, because the other unwanted anarthas can be cleared off very easily. It's only a matter of time, but at least their goal is very pakka. The goal is to love Krishna and serve Him. So, such a hardcore materialist can easily attract the attention of Krishna, and not the pious person who may have such a very nice background. That is why the first qualification to become a devotee is attraction for Krishna. Without that, one cannot be called a devotee. Some attraction should be there for devotional service, for Krishna. That is why we hear so many things. Somebody came to a Vishnu temple, they bowed down, they worship the deity. Some attraction should be there. From there it begins. If that attraction is not there, then what will we develop on? Some basic substance should be there, over and above which we can develop that bhakti, bhavana, can develop. So, These karmis or karmakandis, they are like what? They are like Prabhupada explains, like a man driving a car. He is very proud that, you know, I have always got medals while driving my car for not breaking the signal, for not exceeding the speed limits. He goes round and round the city. He might have got awards for obediently following the traffic laws. But if you ask him, where are you going, sir? He says, I don't know. But he is very nicely following the rules and regulations without any aim. So these are the karmakandis. And also, they have lot of ambitions for material pleasures, undoubtedly, in this world. WWW. Wine, wealth, women. So this is very common goals. So they may be aiming at one or more of this type of goals in this world. They have to have something attachment to this world, otherwise they won't be staying like this. Certainly people have attachment. That's why Mahaprabhu says, Dhanam Janam Sundaram, he says. And over a period of time, you see, one gets tired in this world, chasing after the mirage or the illusion. We have to actually get tired at one point of time, otherwise you'll never want to go up. Like I was in Calcutta, His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was telling a very interesting example. He said, there is a place called Rangoon. In this place, there are some people living, he was telling. They have a big pot in which they put all kinds of animals like rats or the frogs or such kind of frog, all kinds of small and big animals and flies, everything they put throughout the year. And once in a year they have a festival. So in that festival they take it out, they open the pot. And it is viscous liquid. And people, they make it a little more liquid and people drink it. You can imagine how stinking it will be. Such a horrible thing. He said for kilometers distance you can get the smell. It is so horrible. He said in that place once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had a program in Rangoon. So devotees were cooking large feast for thousands of people. So they were making puris. And while making puri, those guys came. They came shouting, hey, what are you guys making? It is so badly stinking, they were saying. So Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj said, just see, we are making puris and they are not able to get tolerate the smell of puri making. But those guys are eating things which are so badly stinking. You know, he asked why? Because everyone is in different guna, tamoguna, rajoguna and sattoguna. So somebody who is in tamoguna, for them that stinking smell is very pleasurable. That is the problem. The material enjoyment is pleasurable for those in rajoguna and tamoguna. They consider it pleasurable, although it is horrible. It's painful or horrible. You know, you will run away from it. Why, like, you know, we run away from stool while pig is running towards stool. Because of the gunas. Yeah. Because the gunas like that. So, the karmis or karmakandis, they are running towards material enjoyment, while the jnanis, they get frustrated over a period of time. They want to run away from it. They say, enough of all these pleasures. Now we want moksha now. We want liberation from all these pains. Just like a man found that in his house, every day he would keep some milk, a cat would come, drink and go away. He became very angry with the cat. Many times he took a stick and chased after the cat. But it was of no avail. Somehow or other the cat will come through the window, come through the door. Whenever he is entering into the house, the cat will also come with him and drink away the milk. He was wondering what to do. So somebody gave him an idea. So after that what he did, he kept hot boiled milk, which was fuming. So the cat came that day. He thought, hey, no one is around. How this fellow is not around with a stick? And the cat thought, maybe it appears a little hot, but you know, make hay while the sun shines. When milk is available, I should drink it immediately. I will drink it and then I can cool it inside, no problem later. So, immediately the cat put his mouth and started drinking. It was so hot, his mustache got burnt practically. He started rolling on the ground. That was the last time the cat came to drink milk. The cat got sufficiently frustrated. So any time this man would keep the milk, cat would take about and run away. Like that. So the jnanis are like this. They are frustrated fellows. They get frustrated in this world after endeavoring to enjoy and enjoy and enjoy. They get frustrated. They come to the conclusion that the material objects of this world cannot give happiness. Like we say, yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yone evate. Adi anta, he says. From beginning to end, it is suffering. So, as I said, the karmis are chasing after sense gratification and the jnanis are running away from the material objects and they want moksha. And this is very common in this world. These categories of people to see is very, very common. In fact, all the three categories, karmi, jnani and yogi, if you see the yogis also, the yogis are like the bed bugs. You know the bed bugs? The bed bugs become very thin like a paper, you know, in the winter season, isn't it? It's very cold. They don't come out. They become very thin, like almost like a paper. Sometimes you take off your bed, you find a bed bug, like paper-like, you know, brownish. And you think it's dead. It's not dead, actually. You just wait and see what will happen. When the summer comes, it will come out and drink your blood. And then go and, you know, hide behind the recesses in your bed. Similarly, the yogis, they perform severe tapasya, but the goal is what? Later on to get some material enjoyment. Like see the Saubari Muni, he was underwater for so long. And then when he wanted to enjoy life, he came out and then went to Mandada king and told him that I want to marry your daughter. Give me at least one of your daughters in marriage to me. And Mandada saw, look at this fellow, he was old, and his body was showing up all the bones. He was ugly looking, with all matted hair and everything. And Mandata couldn't say no to him because he thought the sage would become angry with me. He told him, go and marry whomever you want amongst my daughters. And the yogi was smart enough to understand what it meant. So he changed his form by using a mantra. He used a mantra. Prabhupada says that one should not use Hare Krishna Mahamantra for getting material things. Prabhupada says that. But Saubari Muni was using the mantra for getting a beautiful body and making a big bungalow. You know, he had such a beautiful, attractive, handsome body. He wore a beautiful turban with kundal and everything. When he appeared in the front of those 50 daughters, all 50 of them said, we all want to marry him. I am his wife, everyone said. They all wanted to marry. Then he married all of them. So this is a practical example of a yogi who performs severe tapasya, but then when the chance comes, he wants to enjoy this world. That is why it is said morality is absence of opportunity. So for some people. So for some period of time one may practice very religious life and then back to square A again. I have personally seen so many people in South India, they go for some, you know, Shabarimala, or they go for this Padani, they call it, for Lord Kartikeya's temple. So 30 or 40 days they practice severe penances. No meat, no gambling, no this, no that and everything. Wearing black color, blue color dress. They become extremely pious. They are fasting and only once a day they eat and all that. But after the 40 days are over, again back to square A. Whatever they missed out, they will do it along with compound interest. Afterwards you will find. So these kind of people are very common. Karmis, jnanis and yogis in this world. But as Prabhupada says here, a devotee is very, very rare. Very rare. Why a devotee is rare? Is there anyone in this world who is working hard or practicing anything without anticipating anything in return? And that too for all time. You have to remember these two things. Like if somebody is worshipping Krishna, Narayan or Ram, you ask them, how long are you planning to do this vrata of chanting Hare Krishna for all time to come? What do you expect to get by performing this tapa, this penance? You must be having, like, you know, in India women are very commonly known for doing some vrata and all. Monday or Friday, and you know, they keep some vrata for 3 months or 6 months. my son should get this or my daughter should get that or whatever. After that period is over, again they don't follow the breath anymore after that. It's a time-bound breath aimed at some result. Some goal is there. Whereas, what is Krishna consciousness? It is an eternal breath. Chanting Krishna's names. Not just chanting Krishna's name or doing activity. This one, there's a wonderful song. That song clearly tells what is the meaning of a devotee. You all can try to repeat after me.
Vraje prasiddham navanita chauram. Vraje prasiddham navanita chauram. Gopanganana chadukula chauram. Gopanganana. Aneka janmarjita papachauram. Aneka janmarjita papachauram. Chauragraganyam purusham namami. Chauragraganyam rajaprasiddham navanita chauram. Raje prasiddham gopanganana chadukula chauram. Gopanganana chadukula chauram. Aneka janmarjita papa chauram. Aneka janmarjita papa chauram. Chauragraganyam purusham namami. Shri Radhikaya hridayasya chauram. Shri Radhikaya navambula shyamala anti chauram. Navambura shamara anti padashritanam cha samasta chauram. Padashritanam cha chauragraganyam purusham namami. Chinati ghoram yamapashabandham. Chinati ghoram yamapashabandham. Bhinati bhimam bhavapashabandham. Chinati bhimam bhavapashabandham. Chinati sarvasya samasta vandam. Chinati sarvasya naivatmano bhakta kritam tu bandham. Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani. Dhanam cha manam cha pranamscha kritva mama sarvam yeva. Pranamscha kritva mama sarvam yeva. Palayase kutra dhritodya chaura. Palayase kutra dhritodya chaura. Kambhati dhanasi maya niruddhah. Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani. Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani. Pranam cha hritva mama sarvam eva. Pranam cha hritva mama sarvam eva.
Palayate kutra dhritoja chaura. Palayate kutra Tvam bhakti dhamnasi maya niruddha. Tvam bhakti dhamnasi Raje prasiddham navanita chauram. Raje prasiddham navanita chauram. Opanganam cha dukula chauram. Opanganam అనేక జన్మార్జిత పాప చౌరం. అనేక జన్మార్జిత చౌరాగ్రగణ్యం పురుషం నమామి. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Prasiddham, Bhavanita Choram, Hare Prasiddham, Bhavanita Choram. In this song, he's saying that Krishna, in his Kaumara age, he was very famous for stealing butter from the houses of gopis. So, Vraje Prasiddham, Navanita Choram. So, up to the age of 5. And from the age of 6 to 10, he was, that's called as Pauganda. In that age, he is very famous for stealing the clothes of the gopis when they were taking bath in Yamuna. Yeah. And at the age of 11, he leaves Vrindavan, goes to Mathura. And then in Mathura, he remains for some period of time. I think up to the age of 13 years, 6 months, I think. 13 years, 7 months, he is in Mathura. And after Mathura, he goes to Dwaraka after that. So, after 11 is called as Kaishora age. In the Kaishora age, he is very famous for stealing the hearts of his devotees, especially the gopis. Because he leaves Vrindavan and goes away, so everyone feels great separation from him. So, in this way, in all the three stages, in Kaumara and Pauganda and Kaishora, he is famous as a thief. Either he is stealing butter, or is stealing the clothes, or is stealing the hearts. Like that. So it's called as a chore, thief. And he's saying, Aneka Janma Arjita Papa Chorum. For many, many lifetimes I have accumulated sinful reactions. And you are stealing it away very easily. That's the meaning of the word Hari. Hari means one who takes away all inauspiciousness or steals away our sinful reactions. Like the gopis sing also in the Gopi Gita. Pranata Dehinam. Papakarshanam. So they are singing, my dear Krishna, your lotus feet are so powerful that a big mountain of sinful reactions can be shattered to powder when your feet touches the heart of your devotees. So he removes all the sinful reactions. And then he is saying, Chauragra Gandam means he is a supreme thief amongst all thieves. And he will tell you why eventually. Then he is saying, Sri Radhikaya Hridesa Choram, you have stolen the heart of Srimati Radhika. Navambuda Shyamalam Kanti Choram, he is saying, the fresh bright cloud you see in the sky, like today's sky is exactly the way Krishna looks. This is the color. This is color Shyamala. It is not white, it is not dark. It is like a fresh white monsoon cloud. So, his beauty steals the beauty of that cloud also. It takes away that beauty also. Padashritanam cha samastha chauram. If somebody takes ashrita, he becomes ashrita of Krishna. Samastha chauram, he steals everything from that person, he says. So, because he is a supreme thief. And later on he will explain what all he steals. He says, chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham. My dear Krishna, I am seeing that you are such a powerful person in this world that you are capable of cutting anything and everything. Like for example, with a blade you can cut a paper or something. Or you can cut a nail. But with a blade you cannot cut a mild steel plate. Not possible. For that you will have to heat it. There is another device for cutting such kind of things. Like the diamond is the hardest thing, which cannot be cut by anything very easily. But the diamond can cut everything else. You will see. That's why they use diamond tools. But here he is saying, you are so powerful that you can cut anything in this world. So he is saying, Yamapash cannot be cut by any living entity. All living entities get captured by Yamapash. Yamapash means the ropes of Yamadutas. But Chinatsi Ghoram Yamapasha Bandha. If one becomes your devotee, immediately the Yamapash around their neck or around their body is cut to pieces asunder. Binatsi Bhimam Bhavapasha Bandha. More difficult to cut than Yamapash also is Bhavapash. Bhavapash is cycle of birth and death. Somebody may escape from Yamaraj in one lifetime, like Savitri, Satyavan. Satyavan escaped from Yama by the prayers of Savitri. By some hook or crook or fluke, somebody escapes from Yamapash. Still the Bhavapash will not leave them. Birth after birth they have to take on bodies. But Krishna, you are so powerful, you cut the Bhavapash also. Bhavabandhan also you can cut. Because you say, Teshamaham Samudharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarat, he says. Bhavamina Chirat Partha Maya Vesh. Anybody who becomes attached to me, I lift them above this Samsara Sagar. Chinatsi Sarvasya Samastha Bandham. And you, Krishna, you are also capable of cutting all the ties of attachment we have in this world. Like, you know, our attachments, every one of us, according to our age and maturity, we have attachments. Children are attached to balloons or toys, isn't it? Young boys are attracted to young girls are attracted to young boys. When one grows up, becomes a businessman, he becomes attached to money, isn't it? And then one grows up, then one is attached to getting name and fame and position and honor and prestige and status in society. We are attached to those things. In this way, one becomes attached to many, many things. In fact, Shankaracharya, in one of his prayers, he says, he found one sannyasi or sadhu sitting under a tree. So he is telling how this fellow has renounced everything of the world. But even he is attached to his begging bowl and his place. He was quarreling with another person for the place. This is my place. How did you sit in my place? So sometimes you find some beggar sitting in a temple, on either side of the road. If some other, and they are wearing this dress also, saffron also. If somebody else comes, they will take a stick and beat them. So they have attachment to that place. So in this world, everyone has attachments like that. But here he says, Chinatsi Sarvasya Samastha Bandham. All such attachments are cut into pieces when one becomes a Krishna's devotee. But then he says, Naivatmano Bhakta Kratam Tu Bandham. But Krishna, there is one knot which you cannot cut, which is the love of your devotee for you. That you can never escape. When Mother Yashoda tied you to the grinding mortar, you tried releasing yourself in different ways, but you couldn't. Even your friends also tried helping you, even they couldn't help you. So that you cannot cut, he is saying. The last line is the climax, last para. He says, Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani. My dear Krishna, you have taken away all my wealth. You have taken away my prestige. How you have taken away my prestige? Like, you know, there was one boy, I remember in IIT, when we all joined as brahmacharis in Chowpatty, he said, I also want to join temple full time, but under one condition, he said. Condition is, nobody in this world should ridicule me that I am a shaven head. You know? That was his condition. Because sometimes you go in the train to sell books, somebody says, hey, Takla, somebody says. Somebody is saying, hey, Shendi, he says, you know. You know, different people, somebody calls, hey, Baldi, you know, different people call like that. So he used to get very upset. Why? The modern day Kali Yuga fools cannot understand how the brahmacharis are real brahmanas in modern day society. They are studying Shastra and they are preaching. We are supposed to be respecting the, you know, people who are studying Shastra and preaching. How they can find fault? How they can call such names? Huh? So he said, I will join full time only when everyone in the world agrees to not ridicule. Do you think it's possible? That's why I never joined after that. So when one becomes a devotee, one should be ready to give up the man also. So-called prestige in society. Because sometimes relatives think you are a fool. Like Madhavendra Puri said, no? Let the sharp marlis accuse me. Of becoming, having become a fool. Let the Vedic followers. So he says all the different people, how different people ridicule. Sometimes the relatives, they shout at you, yell at you, to bring you to senses, to make you normal. Isn't it? Whatever they consider normal to be. And sometimes, you know, your parents may cry, sometimes they may cajole you, sometimes they may shout at you, sometimes they want to beat you or take you to a deprogrammer or whatever. So, and in fact, some parents are afraid. They even tell the children, don't even come home because neighbors will see that you are a sadhu mendicant. Our prestige will be lowered. So, sometimes a devotee is not respected in this world. Even Shukadeva Goswami was walking in the street and he was thrown stones by some children. But Shukadeva Goswami is such an exalted soul. When he was sitting in the Vyasasana and speaking, you know, Vedavyasa Narada was sitting and hearing. Such an exalted soul he was, but the common public did not understand his glory. In the same manner, my dear Krishna, you have taken away all the wealth. Manam cha, you have taken man also. Tatendriyani. And because you are Rishikesh, you have taken all my senses and engaged in your service. Because that's what we do. Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam. Pranamscha Hritva. You have taken away my whole life itself, which means, see, life means time, isn't it? From morning to night. Everyone in this world is very busily engaged according to what they consider to be worthy of working, isn't it? It's called as arthadam. The Shastra used the word artha. Artha means purposeful. Somebody thinks, you know, working hard in this direction will bring me great success. Everyone thinks. So everyone is going in different directions in this world, considering different unworthy things to be worthy. And then what does Krishna's devotees do? Krishna has made them engage in his service. So he is saying, pranam sahritva, you are such an attractive thief that you have engaged me in your service 24 hours, 24/7, by 30/365. You have completely taken me. And the beauty is you don't pay a single penny salary also. You know? Pranam sahritva, mama sarvam eva. And you are engaging my kaya, vacha, manasa, everything. Have you seen any company? See, the big companies nowadays, companies like Microsoft or, you know, big companies, what they do, earlier the company had a company look. Company means what you expect. You have a cabin, you have a table, you have a chair, you have a computer. And there are papers littered here and there and all that. So there is a company look. But now the companies are changing the company look into a house look, home look. You go to many big companies nowadays, you know, you find they give you a house kind of thing. There is a latrine, there is bathroom, and there are big mirrors, and there is a bed also. You can relax also if you want. There is table, chair, easy chair. There is a portico. There is greenery. Everything is there. What you have at home, except your wife. Your wife may be in your home, and you are in the office. Only thing is, both the places look like a home. And they say that, you know, you can work as long as you want, you know, come anytime, go anytime kind of job. Only thing is you have to complete the project in 7 days. You have to complete. And then if you really have to come anytime, go anytime and complete it, each day you have to spend 14 to 16 hours. Only then you can complete the project. So they are making, some companies are trying to maximize the surrender of their employees towards the company. But there is no company like Krishna who can take the kaya, vacha, manasa of his devotees. The body, their mind, their words, everything Krishna, he doesn't, Krishna is called as a jealous lover. Jealous lover means, he says that if you want to claim yourself to be my pure devotee, you have to give your sarvasva to me, everything to me. And somebody may say, oh, if one has to give everything to Krishna, this is too big a demand. Some people say, this is too much. You don't have to surrender so much. Because most people think spiritual life means, you do a little bit in the morning, that's it. All day you can do other things. But Krishna demands that you surrender everything to me. Sarvadharman parityajya, mamekam sharanam raja. Surrender only unto me. Mamekam, this is a very famous phrase. Mamekam sharanam raja. And also he says, vraja, like the vrajavasis. That's the meaning. Actually, vraja means, Prabhupada will say, surrender or go, you will find in the Bhagavatam. The meaning of the word vraja. But the acharyas have explained that because Krishna gradually brought chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 in Bhagavad Gita towards the conclusion, 18th chapter, Krishna could not resist telling about the glory of vrajavasis. He wanted to tell Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, see, you have been having so many concocted ideas of what you want to do in the battle. I have given you karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, all these things I had to give you because you are not surrendering so easily. Now I have come to the last point of bhakti yoga and now I am going to conclude my talk. Better let me give you a clue. If you want to know how to surrender, how should you surrender? Mamekam sharanam vraja, he said. Like the residents of Raj, you have to surrender, giving everything. And what will I give you in return for that? Will I give you the post of Indra? Will I give you the post of Brahma? Or will I give you moksha? The fruit of such surrender to me is that I will give myself to you. That is why to get Krishna, we have to give over everything, he says. So he says, pranam shahritva mama sarvam eva. And then he is saying, you have taken everything from me. Now I am a beggar. You have taken away my wealth, you have taken away my body, mind, words, in my indriyas, my man, my pranamscha, everything you have taken. And then he is asking, palayase kutra dhritodya chaura. Oh, great thief! Where are you palayase? Where are you running away after having taken all these things? And then he is saying, tvam bhakti damnasi maya niruddha. I am now coming with the rope of bhakti by which I am going to tie you up. And I know why you are running away. Why you are running away? Because once your devotees tie you with the rope of love, you cannot cut that rope. You can cut the yamapash, you can cut the bhavapash, you can cut samasta bandham, but you cannot cut the rope of the love of your devotees. So actually, how it is, Krishna actually is willing to give karmis, jnanis, yogis, whatever they ask for, very easily. Very easily he gives it up. Okay, you wanted this, take it and go. But bhakti he doesn't give very easily. Why? Because if he gives, then he gets sold out. It is like staking oneself. It's like giving oneself completely. So it's both ways very difficult. For Krishna also it's a troublesome job, because if he gives himself to somebody, he says, I am sold out to my devotee. Because then the devotees can use him the way they want. They can demand. So Krishna also doesn't give himself easily. So it's a give and take process. You give yourself, then you will get Krishna also. Actually, the yetama prapadyante, the culmination of that is this. You surrender a little bit, Krishna also gives you a little bit. Somebody wants a toy or a balloon or this, you keep getting everything. At last, when you want Krishna, you have to give your whole existence. Then Krishna will give himself completely. As he has said here. Tvam bhakti damnasi maya niruddha. So he is saying, my dear Lord, I will capture you with the rope of bhakti, love. And I know for sure that Yashoda bound you with the rope of love and you just couldn't escape her tying you. In the same manner, I will bind you up by bhakti, he says. Very beautiful song. Actually, one should not fear that Krishna will steal something away from me. We should never fear. In fact, I can tell you, those who fear, Krishna will never steal from you. Because, like, you know, one boy, he used to beg for mercy from everyone. So he came to me also and said, Prabhuji, please, please. He was like very, very prayerfully with folded palm begging me, Prabhuji, please give me your mercy. So I asked, which mercy you want? You want mercy or special mercy? Just like you have, you know, dosa, special dosa. But a paper dosa you have, you know. And your masala dosa you have, isn't it? So different dosas have different benefits. Ordinary dosa has nothing inside, isn't it? Masala dosa has some masala inside. I don't want to tempt you with all special items now. You know, isn't it? Or paper roast. So he suddenly ended up saying that, Prabhuji, because you use the word special, I think special must be special. So you can give me special mercy, he said. Then I told him, you see, Krishna gives mercy to those who beg him for his mercy. But those who desperately want him and want to attain him, only Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, they want to do. Then Krishna takes away all things that they have which come in the way of their devotional service to him. Whatever is stopping them from fully surrendering to Krishna, Krishna takes them away. Yasyaham anagruhanami harishetad dhanam shanai. He said, Satyaki surrendered to him. When he heard it, he started trembling. He started trembling and he became very fearful. Prabhuji, please take back your boon. You only keep it. I want only mercy now. Because the special dosa is too costly. You are selling. Sometimes in a hotel, you ask for the menu, you know. Some item looks very attractive. When you tick mark it and then you come to know the amount. It's very frightening. So, one thing is Krishna is also very kind. He will not snatch away something from us which we are too fond of and we don't want to get rid of immediately at the moment. Then he allows us to get sufficiently frustrated before we can leave it in this world. And then whenever we are prepared for it, that time only he will tell us to leave it. So, the goal is not to leave the thing, but the goal is to capture the right thing. The goal is not just what all things I left behind. That is not as important as what is the right object I am capturing. The right object to capture is Krishna. Like here you see, he is binding Krishna with his love. And this was possible for the Brajabasis. Yeah. In fact, their fondness for Krishna, their love for Krishna was so great that nobody can approach it. So in Bhagavad Gita you find many, many shlokas are there. Like for example, Suradam Sarva Bhutana, Krishna is saying, I am the well-wisher of all living beings. He is telling us, my dear living entity, I am your mother. There is one verse he says, no? Mata, Data, Pitamaha, Vedyam, Pavitra, Monkaram, Riksama, Ajurevacha, in that verse he says, Mata, Data, I am your mother. Another verse he says, Prapitamaha, which means, I am your mother, I am your father, I am your grandfather, I am your great-grandfather also, he is saying. I am everyone for you. And he also says, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, I am your well-wishing friend at all times. He says. Similarly, he also says, you should try to know me in Tattvata. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Yevam Yo Veti Tattvataha. Yeah. Another verse also he says, you know, Bhaktya tu ananya shakya aham evam vidorjuna jnatum jnatum drashtum cha tattvena. There also is the word tattva. Praveshtum cha parantapaham. So if you know me in tattva, then you will attain my abode. You will attain my association. And what is the meaning of knowing in tattva? Vadanti tat tat pavidas tattvam yajnanamadvayam brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. Here is the tattva. Tattva is to first think God to be impersonal. Then to understand God to be personal, like a Paramatma. And then to understand Him as Bhagavan. So, there is something even more higher than understanding God to be Bhagavan, which was only known to the Vrajavasis. We will see that. So, if we know Lord in Tattva, then only we can attain Him. We have to know these three truths. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. those three. Which means in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna is indirectly telling everyone that ultimately you have to know me and truth to attain me. So you find that Krishna speaks theoretically and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrates practically the same teachings. Like, you know, Krishna was speaking the knowledge about how to become a devotee. You read the 12th chapter Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of a devotee he speaks. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself became a devotee. And he taught also how a devotee should behave. See, I got a beautiful verse from the Chaitanya Leela. See, Krishna is called as a Leela Purushottam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called as a Prem Purushottam. So how he gives Prem, you see, Atyanta durlabha prema kori varadan shikaye sharanagati bhaktera pran. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives prema, Krishna prema, through the chanting of the holy names. And then he is asking the living entities to surrender. Shikaye sharanagati bhaktera pran. So, he was telling that without love you cannot surrender, he says. So, otherwise the surrender will be artificial or conditional or partial. It will not be complete, he says. You see, when we use the word surrender, surrender is not like, you know, a pickpocketer surrendering to a police. That type of surrender is not what we are talking when it comes to surrendering to Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna is like a child surrendering to the mother or father. Like sometimes you see a child in the school, the mother comes in the afternoon time searching for the child. There are hundreds and thousands of children running here and there, and she's looking for that one face of the child. Child sees the mother, mother sees the child comes running to the mother, with both the arms outstretched, taking shelter of the mother's shoulders. That is a surrender. A devotee very willingly, voluntarily, lovingly, happily, rushing to serve Krishna as the be-all and end-all. That is actually surrender. That's why he says, without love you cannot actually become das. Because service is based on love. Whatever service we render, that's based on love, especially in the dealings with Krishna. Often we find a Vaidhi Bhakta may surrender out of fear. Like, you know, why do we surrender to Krishna? Because we think Krishna has the key to the spiritual world. We think, please Krishna, give me the key so that I can open the door and go there and be peaceful. Because this world is so troublesome. And many times devotees have this question. Prabhuji, I have heard so much Krishna Katha. I have seen the deity also. I attended Mangalarti also. Still no love is coming in the heart. I don't feel any love for Krishna. Because we think of Krishna to be an ordinary human being. Or we think of Krishna to be our competitor. Or we think of Krishna to be some politician or king or somebody like that. We have no proper understanding of Krishna. That's why the tattvata is very important. And when we talk of actual surrender, then when there is love, then service is very easy. Correct? All of you think for a moment, who is the person whom you love the most in your life? Quite often it's likely to be your mother or your father. And to serve them becomes so easy for you. Like if they are carrying a heavy suitcase, you will not tolerate seeing them carrying that suitcase. You will rush there to take it from their hands. Because you don't want to see them enduring pain. You want to take that pain, burden. It's called as burden of love. So service means burden of love. That is service, service to the Lord. So burden of love means love should be there, otherwise how will you take the burden? Like if somebody wants to give you the burden, please take this burden. You don't love them, you will run away. He'll give some excuse and he will run away. That is why he says, that's what Mahaprabhu did. Atyanta durlabha prema kori baradan shikaye sharanagati bhaktera pran. Bhaktera pran means for the bhaktas, sharanagati. This is in Bhaktivinoda Thakur also goes to the sharanagati. He says the same thing there. He says for the bhaktas, the pran is sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. But how to achieve that sharanagati? Lord Mahaprabhu freely distributed the prem, Krishna prem. But for getting that prem, what we have to do? He says, Niraparada nama loyala paya premadhan. This is also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Niraparada nama loyale. when one chants the holy names inoffensively. So two things are needed to get Krishna prema. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kripa and Naam kripa. A combination of these two will produce Krishna prema. So we have to chant the holy names inoffensively, purely. At the same time, depend on Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then we get prema. And we get prema, then we can surrender very easily, he says. Now you may ask, Prabhuji, for getting that prema, are we not surrendering? No. Chanting the holy name can be done even by a child, Prabhupada says. Even a dog can chant, a child can chant, anybody can chant, he says. The actual surrender comes when we chant the holy names and we get some benefit. Then we want to surrender more and more to Krishna. And the taste will come. When we get some... And also when we hear Chaitanya Leela, Chait Mahaprabhu, how is he distributing holy name and Krishna Prem? Yeah. So, in Bhagavad Gita you will find there are so many verses directly indicating bhakti. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Same thing Krishna says. So, you will find that Lord Krishna indirectly sprinkles some words in Bhagavad Gita which are directly related to prema bhakti. Like this verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. What is that bhava? Bhava is ecstatic love. In fact, bhava comes, the different aspects of bhava are said as sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga. And then there is also... After that comes, after Anuraga comes Bhava, Mahabhava, Ruddha, Maharuddha, Adiruddha. Then the last one is Madanokya Mahabhava, it's called. Which is actually the pure love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. In which the Radharani's golden complexion manifests in Madanokya Mahabhava. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna only. But then, although he is Krishna, why is his complexion golden? Because of Madanokya Mahabhava, it's called. Madanakya Mahabhava means he is in that stage of pure love that his whole body becomes golden complexion. Just like the iron rod, you know, you put it in the fire, first it becomes red hot, isn't it? Then it becomes yellow hot, then it becomes white hot, like that. More and more intense it becomes. Similarly, when the love also increases inside the heart, the experience of love in the heart manifests its color externally also. That's why Radharani is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. Why is she Tapta Kanchana? Because of that love in her heart, like that. So these are all different stages, like the sugar, then you get candy, then you get rock candy, then you get mishri, you know. It gets thicker and thicker. Love also becomes thicker and thicker. And that's what Krishna is saying. Bhav, he's used the word. Prahlad also says in Bhagavatam, Ekanta bhakter govinde yat sarvatra tadikshanam. One who develops such unalloyed devotion unto Govinda will see him everywhere. Yamam pashyati sarvatra. When one develops unalloyed love for Krishna, ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tadikshanam. Ekanta bhaktir govinde. When one develops ekanta bhakti, unalloyed love for Krishna, then he will see Krishna everywhere. Yeah. And that love is a pure love. It shouldn't be misunderstood to be the so-called love of this world. In fact, Rupa Goswami gives a definition of love. He says, sarvata dvamsa rahitam. He says, sarvata dvamsa rahitam means that love for Krishna is never inhibited by anything. Even if some dangerous thing happens in devotee's life. What is that verse? In 6th chapter, there is a similar verse. Gurunapi vichalyate. What is that verse before that? Sukham atyantikam jattat. Buddhigrahyamatindriyam vetiyatrana chayvayam stitaschalati tatpataha yam labdva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tataha yasmin stitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate tam vidyat dukkasam yogam vyogam yoga samhitam. So he's saying, gurunapi vichalyate. Even if big dangers come in the life of a devotee will not give up the lotus feet of Krishna, he says. That is the kind of love for Krishna. That's the meaning of Rupa Goswami saying, sarvata dvamsa rahitam. Sarvata dvamsa rahitam means the sati api dvamsa karane, he says. Although there is a possibility of a breakage of relationship, it never breaks, he says. Sarvata dvamsa rahitam, sarvata dvamsa karane. Yad bhava bandhanam yunoho, sa prema parikirtitaha. This is the definition of preeti, he is saying. Preeti, preeti means love. The definition of love is sa prema parikirtitaha. Prema or preeti means this. Where there is every chance of love to, the relationship to break, but it never breaks, and the relationship keeps on continuing and keeps on intensifying more and more. Like that he says, yeah. Like that degrees of love, I gave the example of sugarcane, sugarcane juice. So, with one example I would like to conclude from Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, once Jagannath Mishra in Srinavadvip was sleeping in the night, suddenly he got a dream, a very divine dream, very special dream. So in that dream, he saw himself sitting with another Brahmana who was sort of scolding him. That Brahmana was telling to Jagannath Mishra, you do not know who your son is. That is why you are taunting him and chastising him. But this is not proper, he told him. So Jagannath Mishra responded to that. He said, whoever my son may be, maybe he is a demigod, maybe he is a mystic yogi, or maybe he is some great saintly person, I don't care. For me, he is my son. And he said, because he is my son, it's my duty to instruct him on moral and religious principles. How can he say I cannot instruct him? If I don't instruct him, then how will he come to know what is right and what is wrong? He asked. Then the Brahmana again said, but the fact is, your son is a mystic personality. And he is a supreme personality of Godhead himself. And he is self-enlightened, he said. Swayam Prakash, he is self-enlightened. He is self-effulgent and self-enlightened. And what is the need of your knowledge that you are giving him? He knows everything. He is all-knowing. You are giving knowledge is like taking a candle to show the sun. Do you want some light? It's like that. What is the use of your giving knowledge to him? And then again, Jagannath Mishra told him, even if my son is not an ordinary person in the society, even if he is Lord Narayana himself, still I consider him to be my son and I consider it to be my duty to instruct him, he said. So in this way it was going back and forth between them. It was a very divine dream that Jagannath Mishra had. So, and then later on Jagannath Mishra got up wondering, who is my son? Is this Himaya Pandit some demigod? Is he some supreme god? Or is he some yogi? How I got that dream? He was wondering. He wasn't aware. His intense preeti, love for him, completely covered his understanding of the supremacy of Lord Himaya Pandit or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He thought of him to be his own son. A similar thing happens in Bhagavatam also, we read. We find in many places, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, both of them considering Krishna to be their child. In Chaitanya Leela, Adi Leela 6.58, also this is explained very beautifully.
Shuna Uddhava Satya Krishna Amaratanaya Teho Ishwara Hena Yadi Tumara Manilaya Tadapi tanhate rahu mora manovritti tumara Ishwara Krishna how kamora mati.
He's saying, Nanda Baba is telling to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, please hear me. In truth, Krishna is my son. But even if you think he is God, I would still see him. I will still maintain my own feelings for my son. Okay, you are calling him as Lord Krishna? No problem. May my mind be attached to your Lord Krishna. He said, for you he is Lord Krishna and for me he is my son. Like that he said, you treat him as Lord Krishna and I will treat him as my son. Like that Nanda Baba said. So, as I was telling you in the beginning of the talk today, the whole world of people are crying for WWW, we were saying, isn't it? Wealth, wine, women, facilities and comforts and everything. Or people are crying to go to Swarga or liberation and everything. But here you find Nanda Baba crying for Krishna. You know, Uddhava is very close associate of Krishna. Krishna's father is Vasudev. Vasudev had a brother called as Deva Bhaga. His son was Uddhava. So Uddhava is a cousin brother of Krishna. And Uddhava was so close to resembling Krishna's form. He looked just like Krishna from a distance. If you see Uddhava's form, exactly looked like Krishna from a distance. So Krishna loved him very intensely. In fact, you will find in the third canto, see what Krishna says. Na Uddhavo anvapi mat nyunaha. He says, Uddhava is not even slightly different from me, Krishna is saying. He is as good as me. Like that he glorifies Uddhava. In 11th canto, Krishna tells about Uddhava. He speaks to Uddhava, 11th canto. There he says, my dear Uddhava, I love you more than Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi also. I love you more than Brahma, more than Shiva, more than all of them. That much he loves Uddhava. Uddhava is a very, very pure devotee. In fact, Uddhava was a student of Brihaspati. He is also called as a Mahabhaga. Uddhava Deva Bhagasya Mahabhaga Sutho Bhavat, it is said. Mahabhaga means he is a very pure soul, very fortunate soul, and great devotee of Krishna. In fact, Krishna, when he returns to spiritual abode, the last person he saw was Uddhava. He was sitting with Uddhava, giving some instructions to him before leaving this world. Looking at him straight at the face, face to face, Maitreya was also sitting there. You can imagine the good fortune of Uddhava. So, that Uddhava, he was a student of Brihaspati, who is actually the guru of all the demigods also. Uddhava was also is one of his best students and most learned, most wise, deeply learned in Sankhya philosophy. And he had great jnana, deeply studied in Shastra. So that Uddhava was called by Krishna. And Krishna told him that I have left Vrindavan and come here. And I can tell you, Uddhava, in my days in Vrindavan, all the Vijabhasis loved me very dearly. For one moment they couldn't forget me. Somehow, by will of providence, I have left Vrindavan and come here, to Mathura and Dwaraka. So he said, I want you to go back to Vrindavan and, you are very capable of, because Uddhava was also called by the name Buddhisattama. Buddhisattama means one who is very intelligent. Because a very intelligent person can understand others' minds very easily, even before they open their mouth and speak. So you are Buddhisattama. So you go to Vrindavan and you can study their minds and pacify them. You can give them some reassurance that I will come back to Vrindavan very soon. I have some 2-3 demons to kill. I will kill them and then I will come back to Vrindavan. You give them some assurance. And then he sent him to Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, he knows why he does what he does. On one hand, he wants to use Uddhava to give solace to Vrijabhasis. On the other hand, he sent Uddhava for a different reason. He wanted Uddhava to see the pure love of Vrijabhasis, the spontaneous love of Vraj. He wanted them to see. So, when Uddhava went and met, first he met Nanda Baba and Yashoda. And Nanda Baba was so much happy to see Uddhava. He welcomed him. And he immediately started speaking about Krishna. He asked him many questions. This is one of the verses which comes in the 10th canto. He's telling, Nanda Baba is telling him, Sarichaila vano deshan mukunda pada bhushitan akridani kshamanana mano yati tadatmana. He's telling, oh Uddhava, when I see the Sarit, Sarit means the rivers. When I see the Yamuna river, or when I see the Shaila is the Govardhan mountain. When I go to the Govardhan mountain, when I see the thick forests of Vrindavan, Mukunda Pada Bhushitan, everywhere I find the Mukunda Pada, means the lotus footprints of Krishna everywhere. In Vrindavan it is said, the cows or the calves, they would not even put their foot on footprints of Krishna. We don't know how they walked every day, wherever there are footprints. Nobody would put the footprint on Krishna's footprint. That's why it's preserved even today. So he says, I saw, wherever I go, I see the footprints of Krishna. When I look at the moon, it looks like a beautiful silver plate, but for me it looks like Krishna's face. Beautiful face. When I look at the beautiful sunflower, or some bright flower like that, he says, I see Krishna's beautiful smile. When I hear the cuckoos cooing in the forest, I feel it is Krishna singing while playing with his friends in the forest. When I go to the banks of Yamuna, I see many footprints of Krishna along with his cows and calves herding them. And immediately it reminds me of his cowherding pastimes. So in this way, he says, Akrida nikshyamananam manoyati tadatmanam. I get tadatmata, tadatmekata. Which means my mind gets completely fixed in Krishna. And I cannot forget him for one moment. How is it that Krishna has left all of us behind like this, making us cry for him? And he has gone away. He has forgotten us. Now you have come to give message. Does he ever remember us? In this way, Nanda Baba started weeping and crying for Krishna, remembering Krishna. So when Uddhava, Uddhava was as I told you, Uddhava knew that Krishna is a super soul in the heart of everyone. So he saw Nanda Baba crying like this. And he told this famous verse.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha Yuvam Shlagyata Maununam Dehina Mihamanava Narayane Kilagurav Yatkrita Matiri Drishi.
Uddhava said, Oh respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world. Since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayana, the spiritual master of all living beings. He said. So he glorified. He said, Yuvam Shlagyatamav Nunam. Shlagyatamav. In the most praiseworthy personalities, you and Yashoda. Why he said like this? Because Uddhava had only heard before that the goal of life is Krishna Prem. To attain love for Krishna. Theoretically he knew it, just like all of us know it. We all know, what is the ultimate goal of life? Krishna Prem. The morning after the 10 offenses we say something. What do we say? What is the last part we say? To achieve the desired success, then everyone says Krishna Prem. Isn't it? So we have heard it, we know it. Like the Uddhava also was aware of it. Krishna Prem is the ultimate goal of life. Treat Krishna with pure love. That is the ultimate goal. There is no other goal beyond that. In order to achieve that goal, Uddhava also knew you have to do lot of sadhana. And first of all, you have to do yajna, dana, tapa and all that, and then become a jnani. And then after becoming a jnani, you realize you are not the body, you are the soul. And then realize gradually the super soul in your heart. Meditate on the super soul and understand his position. And then when one progresses like that, gradually a stage will come when one strikes a personal relationship with the Lord. And then one will come to a point like what Nanda Baba has achieved. So it's like one in million. Like the Bhagavatam also says that. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamani. So you will find Yashoda also, just like he is telling Yashoda and Nanda Baba. Here is a beautiful pastime of Yashoda on the same day today. Today this pastime is happening. That's why I'm going to speak a few words on that. Today is Krishna's appearance day. On that day, Mother Yashoda sent Rohini to fetch both the children, Krishna Balaram, who are playing with their friends. Of course, as I said here, After the uprooting of the Yamala Arjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Ram and Krishna, who had both gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. So Rohini saw that despite her calling, the boys were not willing to return. So then she thought Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna Balaram. So let me request her to call them. Yashodam preshayamasa rohini putra vatsalam. In putra vatsalata, Yashoda was superior to Rohini. She knows how to, you know. Actually, some mothers are very intelligent in this. They know when to pamper the child, when to slap the child. And they are expert in both. Yeah, and those children also know very well, when my mother, you know, mother will shower so much love, and then when mother wants to get something done for the child knows she is very smart. She knows how to get it done. Especially those mothers are extreme in both. You'll find they can take both sides very powerfully. So Yashoda was like that. You will see Yashoda's intelligence. You will see that. Eventually you will see in these coming verses. Krishna and Balaram being attached to their play, are playing with the other boys, although it was very late. Therefore, Mother Yashoda called them back for lunch. Because of her ecstatic love and affection for Krishna Balaram, Krishna and Balaram, milk flowed from her breast. Now first Yashoda thought, let me call Krishna. Because Krishna is more naughty, because Balaram is at least grown up. He will understand. But Krishna is more difficult to get. So she thought, I'll get Krishna first. She's calling Krishna. Krishna Krishna Aravindaksha. Everyone. Tataye histanam piba. Alam viharai kshukshantaha. Krida shranto siputraka. See, kshut means hunger. Kshanta means tiredness. My dear child Krishna, you must be very tired playing alam viharai. You have played enough since morning. Now you must be very tired, you must be very hungry. Krida shrantosi putraka. You must be fatigued from playing, my dear child. Please come home. Tata means my dear darling. He's calling, please come and drink from my breast. Krishna Krishna Aravindaksha. Oh, lotus eyed one, she's calling. And then she's calling Balaram now. He Rama Gaccha Tata. He Rama Gaccha Tata Ashu. Sanuja Kulanandana. Pratareva Kritaharas. Tadbhavan Bhoktumarhati. She is calling, hey Rama, hey Balaram, Agacha, come. Tata, again he is calling him as darling. Oh dear, please come. Ashu, come quickly. Sa Anuja, come along with your brother. Kulanandana, oh glory of your family. She is calling. So, we are learning from Yashoda how we should call our children. You will find, Nayanankitare, oh Kulanandana, Tata. So many names she uses to call the child. Actually, mothers are, it's very commonly seen in India at least. Parents attach many names like this to their children and they call them with great love. Of course, now people in India also have started calling the children as honey or darling and everything. Of course, you find here Mother Yashoda addressing as Tata, Kulanandana. She's calling Pratareva Kritahara. Pratareva means early morning you took a little bit of breakfast prasad, breakfast bhog you took. Pratareva Kritahara. Tad Bhavan Bhoktumarhati. Now you deserve to have a solid lunch prasad now. She's telling. Bhoktumarhati means you deserve to have a good lunch now. Please come home. She's calling. And then she said, Nanda Maharaj, the king of Raja, is now waiting to eat. Oh, my dear son Balaram. Is waiting for you. Therefore, come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. She said. And then she saw, although Krishna and Balaram were considering to come, but their friends were not leaving them. Their friends were trying to hold them. They were saying that, hey, Krishna Balaram, if you go now, we will consider you, you know, cowards, you have run away from the game. When you come back, we will not let you join the game. You have to be mere spectators, they said. So seeing that, Krishna Balaram decided that no, we will continue to play now again. Now Mother Yashoda scolds them. She is telling them. My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath and cleanse yourself. Today, the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav ki. The same day, she's telling, today is your birthday. You should come home and give cows in charity to the Brahmanas. She's telling here, you see.
Dhuli-dhu-dhuli-dhu-saritangastvam putra-majjanamavah janmaksham te adhya-bhavati.
Adhya means aj. Janmaksham. Janmaksham te adhya-bhavati viprebhyo dehi gaha shuchi. Get cleaned up. Shuchi means first take a bath and then give cows to viprebhyo, to the Brahmanas. It's her birthday. She's calling him to come and get ready. And then she's telling,
Pasha Pasha Vayastam Vayasyamste Matram Rishtan Swalam Kritan Pamchasnataha Kritaharo Viharasva Swalam Kritaha.
She's telling Krishna, hey Krishna, Pasha Pasha, just look at your friends. They are all equal in age to you, but how good children they are. That they have Matru Mrishtan Sva Alankratan. Their mothers have cleaned them up, bathed them very nicely and dressed them up with garlands and garments and beautiful dresses. Sva Alankratan. They are dressed up very nicely, decorated. Tvamcha Snataha. You also should take bath. Krita Aharo. And take your lunch. And then Viharasva. Then you can come back to play. After Sva Alankrataha. After decorating yourself.
Prabhupada writing in the purport here, sir.
Generally, young boys are competitive. If one friend has done something, another friend also wants to do the same thing. Therefore, Mother Yashoda pointed out how Krishna's playmates were decorated, so that Krishna might be induced to decorate himself like them. Sometimes this works very powerfully amongst children. So, she told, see, look at your friends, how they are, you should be like them. Then immediately Krishna Paranam agreed to come. Then, this is a concluding verse in this section. He is saying,
Yitam Yashoda Tamashesha Sekaram Matvasutam Snehani Badda Dirnrupa Haste Grihitva Saharama Machutam Nitvasvavatam Kritavatatodayam.
He is telling, my dear Maharaj Parikshit, because of intense love and affection, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's mother, considered Krishna, who was at the peak of all opulences, to be her own son. Thus, she took Krishna by her hand. So one side she took Krishna, another hand she took Balram. Catching them by both the hands, she was dragging them back to Nanda Bhavan. Brought them home, where she performed her duties by fully bathing them, dressing them and feeding them. Here in the purport it said, Krishna is always neat, clean and opulent, and does not need to be washed, bathed or dressed. Yet, Mother Yashoda, because of affection, considered him her ordinary child and did her duties to keep her son brilliant. See? So, in this way it is said, Mother Yashoda was so fortunate. Later on you will find Brahma glorifying Mother Yashoda.
Ahovati danyam prajagoramanyam stanyam ritam pitamativate muda.
He is telling, aho, means it's a sign of exclamation. Aho atidanya. How fortunate is this Yashoda? Brahmaji is saying. Brajago Ramanya. All these Braja covered ladies, how fortunate they are. And amongst them, Yashoda. Stanyamritam. Stanyamritam means from her breast. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna drank the milk. Stanyamritam pitam ativate muda. And the Lord derived great pleasure. By becoming a child of that Yashoda. How can one estimate the good fortune of Yashoda? Like that he is. Actually, Brahmaji is admiring not only Yashoda, subsequently he is admiring Nanda Baba also. He glorifies the Vajabhasis and then Nanda Baba. Then he glorifies all the covered ladies and then Yashoda. Like that.
Aho bhagyam, Nanda Gopa Vrajau Kasam. Yan mitram paramanandam puna brahma sanatanam.
the Purna Brahma Krishna, or Purna Purushottama, Leela Purushottam Krishna, he becomes a child in the house of Nanda Baba. He is admiring also. And Brahmaji says, I am ashamed that I performed this kind of Leela. Brahma Vimohan Leela, I became Vimohit. So he is telling, my dear Lord, let me become a stone or a dust or a sand particles in Vrindavan so that all Vrijavasis can put their foot on my head. And then Lord allowed him to become four mountains in Barsana. Mangad, Dangad, Bangad and Vilasgad. On which now all the Vrijavasis are climbing up and walking, putting the dust of their feet on the head of Brahma. Brahma is very jolly, happy having those dust particles on his head. So, in this way, Uddhava also glorifies Nanda Baba as Ivam Shlagitama Nunam. My dear Uddhava, my dear Nanda Baba, you are so fortunate that you attained the ultimate point, the pinnacle of devotional service, which is to treat Krishna as your child. He told him like that. You know what Nanda Baba's response was when he heard it? He said, hey Uddhava, I thought you are a learned person. You are a student of Brihaspati. I have heard a lot of your glories. Now I understand you are simply a fool, he said. Why? I am crying that Krishna has gone away from Vrindavan, leaving us behind. Have you ever seen a child like Krishna? He is like a jewel. He is Neelamani. Now I have lost that Neelamani. And I am crying that we have lost him. And you are saying I am fortunate. What kind of fortune is that? Fortune. Your words are piercing my heart like somebody cutting someone with a razor. It looks like that. It is so painful. You know, are you joking with me? Are you ridiculing me that I am fortunate? Who can be considered fortunate after having lost Krishna? In this way, saying like this, Nanda Baba started weeping loudly and crying. You are a fool. You don't understand. So he was calling Uddhava like that. Now hearing this, Uddhava thought, what can I say to this Nanda Baba? Actually, he thought of telling him, don't cry. First, this is the first thought that came to his mind. Don't cry like this. You are fortunate. But then, Uddhava thought that if I say don't cry, but the Shastras say that the ultimate goal of life is to learn to love Krishna and cry for him. Just like what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgada ruddhaya gira pulakai nichitam vapukkada tavanama grihane bhavishyati. He's asking kada. Kada means when will the time come when my heart will become softened. And with a soft heart I will be able to cry for Krishna. So Uddhava thought that I am a very great jnani, I am a great scholar, I am a great pandit, I am a student of Brihaspati and all these qualifications I have. But along with all these things, I have a hard heart. I don't have a soft heart. When will my heart become soft like that of Nanda Baba? Like that he was thinking. And then he thought, how can I say don't cry? Because the goal of life is to have tears of love for Krishna in one's eyes. So, Krishna himself says, Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Remember me, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, Madhyajivam Namaskuru. And Nanda Baba is perfectly doing that. How I can tell him not to cry for Krishna? So Uddhava was bewildered himself. What answer to give? Then he thought, maybe I should tell him, okay, for some time forget about Krishna so that, you know, he will not cry like this. Then he thought, people may catch me and say, what kind of sadhu are you who is telling people to forget Krishna? Shastras say, always you should remember Krishna. Smartavyam Satadam Vishnu. Smartavyam na jata chet. Sarve vidhi nishedasyur yeti or ever kinkara. All rules are subordinate to that supreme rule of remembering Krishna. How I can tell him to forget Krishna? Or he thought, if I tell him forget Krishna, he will become even more morose and even more sad and he will cry even more. And I can't even control his weeping. Better let me not tell him. And then Uddhava thought, maybe I should tell him, remember Krishna, because that's the instruction of Shastras. Krishna says, Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhya Jivam Namaskaru. But then he's already remembering Krishna, isn't it? See, generally whenever we give pravachan, we tell the people a lot of things about Maya. At the end we say, please don't be in Maya, we have to come back to remembrance of Krishna. Correct? We should remember Krishna, we should not forget Krishna. And our Guru and Prabhupada and Acharyas, they keep hammering us always. Don't forget Krishna. Say yes to Krishna and no to Maya. They keep reminding us, and that is needed for us, time to time. Otherwise there is a tendency to fall prey to Maya, correct? So for those who are fallen in Maya, for them to tell them, remember Krishna is meaningful. But for Nanda Baba, how will I tell him? He is already remembering Krishna. I cannot tell him, don't cry for Krishna. I cannot tell him, don't forget, remember Krishna. I cannot tell him, forget Krishna. So in this way, Uddhava, who was the most learned scholar, in whose tongue Saraswati always resided, in his storehouse, he did not have any language with which he could speak to Uddhava, he could speak to Nanda Baba and pacify him. He felt himself defeated by meeting Nanda Baba like this. And he remained silent, looking at the beautiful tears of Nanda Baba in his eyes. And then he thought, how can I pacify him? I have come here to console the Vrajavasis and pacify them so that, you know, Krishna will eventually come and all. But now I have aggravated their, you know, sadness even more. He felt very sorry. Subsequently, Uddhava got one idea. What to do? You know what he told them? He said, Madi Nanda Maharaj, these two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency. They enter the hearts of all living beings and control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme. Ma khidyatam mahabhagav. Oh, fortunate Andabhava, ma khidyatam. Please, do not lament. Khidyatam means to lament. Please do not lament. Ma khidyatam mahabhagav. Oh, most fortunate one. Again, he's saying most fortunate one. He's going to get one more chastisement. Drakshyata Krishna mantike. Please, don't worry. Krishna will very soon come back to Vrindavan. And then he's saying this beautiful verse. You all can repeat after me. Na mata na pita tasya. Na bharya na sutadaya. Na atmiyo na paraschapi. Na deho janmaye vacha. He said, this Lord Krishna, he said, na mata na pita. He has no mother, he has no father. Na bharya na sutadaya. The Supreme Truth, the Supreme Lord has no wives or no children. Na atmiyo. No one is a relative are closely connected to him. Na parashapi. That doesn't mean that, like you see, parashapi means no one is related to him, yet no one is a stranger to him also. Because the Supreme Lord is neutral as Paramatma. No one is his relative and no one is stranger to him. He knows all living beings. He is the father of everyone. Na deho janmayavi. He has no material body and he has no birth. And then he says, so in this verse, he is talking about the super soul's equanimity with all. Then he is telling, Nachasya karma valoke sadasan mishrayo nishu kridartham sopi sadhunam paritranaya kalpate. He gave the reasons why Krishna comes to this world and becomes the son of Nanda Baba and Yashoda. He said, Na chasya karma valoke. He has no karma at all. Karma bandhana is not there for him. Sadasan mishra yonishu. He is not born in a good family or bad family or a mixed good and bad. Such families like the other living entities. Kridartham sa api. Yet to enjoy his pastimes and to deliver his saintly devotees, the Lord comes in this world, he said. Kridartham, so api sadhunam paritranaya kalpate. So one is sadhunam paritranaya, to deliver the sadhus. And kridartham, just for performing playful pastimes is coming. But you should not misunderstand that supreme truth to be your child. Don't think like that. He said. So, because you are thinking of Krishna to be your son, that's why you are lamenting like this. So don't lament, Vasari. And then he said, Yuvayoreva naivayam atmajo bhagavan harihi sarvesham atmajo hyatma pitamatasa ishvara. Not only Krishna is your child, Krishna is son of every living being. Or in other words, he said, Krishna is not child of anyone. He is the father of everyone. He said, the Supreme Lord Hari is certainly not your son alone. Rather, being the Lord, he is the son, soul, father and mother of everyone. He said. And then he said, drishtam shutam bhuta bhavat bhavishyat stasnus charishnu mahadalpakam cha vina achyutat vastutaram navachyam sayeva sarvam paramatma bhutah. Nothing can be said to exist independent of Lord Krishna. Nothing heard or seen. Nothing in the past, present or future. Nothing moving or non-moving. Great or small. He indeed is everything. For he is a supreme soul. Like that, he went on explaining about Krishna's greatness now. As the super soul of all living beings. In this way, he explained that he is in your own heart as the Paramatma. Why should you lament? He is there in your heart as super soul. And he is the heart of every living being. He is the father and mother of all and everything. When Uddhava gave this knowledge, when Nanda Baba heard it, you know what was the reply of Nanda Baba? See, it is said, for example, as long as the sun is in the sky, you cannot see the stars. Isn't it? But when the sun sets, then you can see the pole star. Very clearly. Similarly, Uddhava is trying to give jnana from the scriptures, from jnana point of view. But the Shuddha Krishna prema is called as jnana shunya bhakti. Which means, unless one rises above that knowledge of Supreme Lord or Super Soul, one has to rise above that knowledge. Above the knowledge of even Krishna as Bhagavan. But one should go into the stage of Tadatmita where one treats Krishna as a child. Nanda Baba was in that stage. It's like one looking at the pole star with full attention without any sunlight. Because as soon as you bring the sunlight, then all the stars, they vanish. You cannot see them. Similarly, as soon as the knowledge of Krishna's supremacy is brought in, immediately the spontaneous love becomes sankuchit. Sankuchit prem. Immediately. Just like when Krishna opened his mouth, when Mother Yashoda asked Krishna, hey, my dear child, did you eat some mitti, some sand? And Krishna behaved, he said very fast, no, Maya, I never ate. Then she said, then open the mouth and see, show me. He said, I am telling you that I didn't eat any sand, then why should I show you my mouth? He asked. This Balram always complains about me. He brings complaints to you about me every day. Some complaint. Then Mother Yashoda said, you see, if what Balram is saying is wrong, that will be proven if you open your mouth. Correct? Balram and friends are telling wrong, correct? Yes, they are telling wrong. Then you open your mouth, it will be proven that they are wrong and you are right. Isn't it? And in case they are right and you are wrong, I have to open your mouth and take out the sand. Because if it goes in your stomach, you will feel stomach pain. I cannot tolerate you eating it. So you open the mouth. So in this way, Yashoda very logically convinced Krishna to open the mouth. And then when Krishna opened the mouth, you know, she saw all the Brahmandas, the whole universe, and she saw the earth. She saw herself also. Then Yashoda became very frightened. She thought that some ghost or some bhoot or some demon must have attacked Krishna. Some strange thing is happening. And she also started remembering the Supreme Lord's supremacy. She immediately fell on the ground and offering obeisances to the Supreme Truth, you know, thinking Krishna to be the Supreme God. When he opened his mouth and showed all the Brahmanda. And then Krishna closed his mouth. And when she saw the beautiful face of Krishna, she forgot his supremacy again. She immediately picked him up and kept him on her lap. So you will find when as soon as the sunlight of the supremacy of the Lord is brought, then the pole star vanishes, which means the spontaneous love becomes diminished or diluted. when you bring the supremacy of the Lord. When you remove the supremacy of the Lord, then the bhaktas are able to think of the Lord to be the child. Like Nanda Baba was treating. When Nanda Baba heard this from Uddhava, he said, "Hey Uddhava, what are you saying? You are saying that my son is Narayana? Narayana is the Supreme Lord whom we bow down to, we worship. But my son, he bows down to me and Yashoda every day. In fact, Lord Narayana is one, when he goes on a palki, he is carried, we go behind him, behind the procession. Whereas when I am walking to the field, Krishna carries the sandals on his head and he comes running behind me. What kind of God is this God you are talking about?" He asked. "Also, I have heard that Lord Narayana is Atma Kama, which means he doesn't hanker for anything. He is always self-satisfied. But this fellow goes to the homes of the other gopis and steals butter. He is always hungry. He is always tired. We are feeding him so much, that is not enough. He goes to other homes and steals. What kind of God is this God?" He asked him. "Yeah. And also I have heard that Narayana is Satya Sankalpa." Satya Sankalpa means one who always keeps his vow. He never tells lies. But this fellow is always a makanchor, he is a liar. He eats butter and he tells lies to his mother. And it is so difficult for us to get the truth out of his mouth. And not only that, the Supreme Lord Narayana, he provides his abhaya pradan. He removes the fear of all those who take his shelter. But this fellow himself is always frightened. When there is a thunderbolt in the sky, you know, he closes both his ears and goes dashing to Mother Yashoda and catches her, both her legs, and submerges his face into her sari. And what kind of fearlessness can he provide to other people? He is himself so frightened, like that. So in this way, Nanda Baba started asking question after question. And at last the climax of his argument, Nanda Baba said, "Till now I was thinking of Krishna, my Neelamani, I have lost him. And I was crying that I have lost my jewel. Now you are adding spice to this. You are saying that he is God also. Earlier I thought it is some piece of copper I have lost. But now you are saying he is God also. That means I have lost something even more great." And Nanda Baba started crying very loudly. And Uddhava offered obeisances. He couldn't do anything more to Nanda Baba. He said, "Nanda Baba, instead of telling you, don't cry, I will tell you, cry more." He said, "And your crying is actually a good lesson for all the living entities who are crying for lusty activities, who are crying for post and position, who are crying for the objects of this world. But those living entities, let them see Nanda Baba's pure love for Krishna. And at least let them begin to understand what is Krishna Prem." Like that Uddhava concluded. That is why this Mathura meets Vrindavan. Mathura is represented by Uddhava. Vrindavan is represented by Nanda Baba and Yashoda. So, in this way, although Mathura represents opulences, Aishwarya Bhav, somebody may ask, if Krishna went to Mathura, why he didn't take his mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba and all the Bijabasis with him? Krishna thought that there will be a rasabhas there. Why? Because Devaki and Vasudev, they are in awe and reverence. They are always worshipping Krishna. And many times they forget Krishna is their child. They often tend to think Krishna is God. And Krishna has to keep telling them, "Hey, I am your child." Like for example, as soon as Krishna came to home, you know, the first thing they did was they offered obeisances to Krishna. And then Krishna spoke in very broken words, "Oh, my dear mother Devaki, you know, I am very sorry that as soon as I was born, I left your company and I went to Gokul. And you all could not see my childhood activities, and you could not feed me, you could not, and he told his father, you could not take me to the Gurukula and admit me under the teacher, Sandipani Muni and all. And in this way, even before you performed the Yajnopavita Dharanam and all that, I left all of you. In this way, oh my dear mother and father, we never served you properly. We have failed from our duty of what a son is supposed to do for the parents." When Krishna Balaram spoke in these sweet words, Devaki and Vasudev completely forgot Krishna Balaram's supremacy. They saw those broken words and immediately they embraced the children. But you will again find, time to time they go between Aishwarya Bhav and Vatsalya Bhav. he'll be going, he'll find. So Krishna thought, I am treated differently in Mathura and Dwaraka. In Dwaraka is treated like a king. Huh? If Yashoda and Nanda Baba and Vrajavasis come, they will be like odd man out, you say, no? They will not be fitting in that place because their rasa is different and they cannot reciprocate that type of love with Krishna. So he didn't take them. But while being in Vrindavan, all the Vrajavasis experienced such a great separation from Krishna, like Nanda and Yashoda experienced that kind of separation. And subsequently, later on, you will read in the same section of how the gopis of Vrindavan had great love for Krishna. And Uddhava saw all these things and returned with a very joyful heart when he met Krishna. He understood that. That is why the love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna is adored by Brahma, the great personality. Is adored by Uddhava. Is adored by Shakadeva Goswami. Is adored by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You find all these great personalities. Even Shankaracharya wrote a Gopiashtakam, glorifying the gopis of Vrindavan as the topmost devotees. So, we have to remember what are the great personalities who are adoring the love of Vrajavasis for Krishna. And by understanding how they adore and what they adore, then our respect for the Vrajabhaktas, Vrajavasis who are Ragatmika Bhaktas, that will greatly increase in our heart. That is why Rupa Goswami says, Tad Anuragi Jana Anugami. What that was? Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya Tishthan Vraje Tad Anuragi Jana Anugami Kalam Nayeda Kila Mityupadesha Saram. Although Rupa Goswami says, I have given this Upadesha Amrit, if you want to know the essence of Upadesha Amrit book, the quintessence of the Upadesha Amrit book, this is one verse, he says. Tat nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu. Lord's name, form, pastimes, qualities, activities, all these things, what you should do? Do kirtan of that. We are precisely doing that today. We are taking sections of Bhagavatam and we have to recite Bhagavatam. Hear it, understand it, appreciate it, share it with others. And when we keep doing it over and over again, gradually that love for Krishna will awaken in our hearts. Just like Uddhava became amazed at Nanda's love and Yashoda's love for Krishna. So we also will develop appreciation for it. See, without appreciation, we can never achieve anything in life. We have to develop appreciation. Then we will develop that fondness. And Uddhava became greedy for that type of love. He cursed himself. He became very humble. He said, I am hard-hearted. I don't have any love for Krishna. Although he had a lot of love for Krishna. Only that love was Jnana Mishra. It was mixed with Jnana. So there are Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, Yoga Mishra Bhaktas also. Uddhava was like that. So he says, Tadnama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtanana Smrityo. Smrityo means remember those pastimes. Kramena, rasana. Rasana means the tongue. Manasi, niyoja. Engage the tongue and mind in reciting these pastimes and remembering these pastimes. And then he says, Tishthan Vraje. Stay in Braj or Vrindavan. How can we stay in Braj? Even if you physically go to Vrindavan, but if you are not in Krishna consciousness, it is more dangerous. That we should remember. Like, you know, when we chant the holy name, if we chant the holy name inattentively, then even after 20 years or 30 years, we don't feel any difference or progress that we have made in spiritual life. Somebody has spent 20 years or 25 years, he says, I don't feel any attraction for Krishna or Krishna's pastimes. I don't feel any attraction for devotional service. That means actually they have chanted inattentively for all these years. But if one chants the holy name offensively, then they are likely to fall down also. Or the Vishayasakti, they start taking a tangible form for them. So that is why it is said, Nama Jata Paradhanam Namanye Vaharantyagam. So when we chant the holy name, we have no other shelter, we have to again chant the holy name, try to be attentive in that. But sometimes, like you might have heard this saying,
You know. What is that? Makkah gaye, Madina gaye, vapis laute haji. And then, purana aajat na chute, paaji ke paaji, it is said. What is the meaning? A man goes to Makkah, Madina, all the holy places, he wanders around. And says that I have done my Tirtha Yatra and everything. And then now he looks like a big haji, means like a great saintly person. But then the old habits have not yet died. Paji means shaitan. Paji ke paji means the old shaitan habits are still there. They are not gone. They are repeating, they are coming again and again. So that means one has to become more attentive in spiritual life. Attentive in chanting of the holy name and one's devotional service and surrender. That's very important. That's why he says, Tat anuragi jana anugami. We should become anugami of anuragi jan. The anuragi jan are those who have developed a great attraction for Krishna. Like Nanda Baba, Yashoda. And all the acharyas down the line. Tat anuragi jana anugami. We should become anugami of anuragi bhaktas. Ragatmika bhaktas. And then he says, kalam nayet. Pass your time like this, he says. This is the best way to pass your time. Kalam nayet akhilam iti upadesha saram. This is the sum total of all, essence of all advice. He's saying like this. You know, if you go in the train, people get this cinema magazines for time pass. Isn't it? But this time pass, not only you kill time, you kill yourself by that time pass. People say, what to do? You know, we have to kill our time, like this Shengdana they sell. Groundnuts, time pass. Keep putting something in the mouth and crunching it. Or buy some cinema magazines and read. But they are all dirty cinema magazines. The time not only passes, the time is putting a noose around our neck. The more it passes, the more it puts a noose and tighter the noose. And one will be dead. Eventually, it will lead to karma bandha pass. Like that. Already we have a lot of karma quota from the past lives. Anadi karma phale padiba varna vajale natare deki upai. He says, anadi karma phale. Already there is a lot of karma pending. Why to create more karma? That's why here he says, kalam nayed. You pass your time. How? By hearing pastimes of Krishna. Tan nama rupa charita adi sukirtanano. Here the large pastimes, activities, and chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama. These two activities, hear the pastimes, remember them, hold them in your mind, relish them, appreciate them, and try to emulate them, and gradually try to apply them in your life. And sukirtanadu, tell others also. So, what is preaching? Preaching is simply distributing our ecstasy. Prabhupada said, preaching in America, Prabhupada went, what was Prabhupada doing? When you appreciate something, you give it to others. Like you go to a doctor, and the doctor gave some medicine, and you got cured. Then what will you do? If anybody is coming with some same sickness, you tell them, oh, you go to that doctor, he's a good doctor. And I also had the same problem, I got cured. You share with others. So when we study the scriptures, we should not be not only for the sake of some scholarly presentation, but it should be with a desire to learn, relish, apply, and then when you apply, then we also distribute to others. And Banchita Madgata Prana Bodhayanda Parasparam, when we do that, the promise is given that gradually that love for Krishna will awaken in our hearts, gradually more and more. And that's why in this purport, if you read this Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvanchamai Pashyati, Prabhupada says here in this purport, nothing can exist without Krishna. And Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna. A position transcendental, even to material liberation. Muktim dadati karhichachmana bhakti yogam. Bhagavatam says. Lord will give mukti also. Mukti means achieving liberation and going to Brahma Jyoti. Na bhakti yogam, he says. But he doesn't give bhakti yoga very easily. Which means bhakti is superior to mukti. Like that Bhagavatam explains. Yeah. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee. And the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. So, although I have read so many Bhagavad Gitas before this Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada, none of them taught this principle that you have to love Krishna, who is the author of Bhagavad Gita. They generally brushed aside Krishna and Arjuna, and they took the message about the soul, message about, you know, be detached from sukha dukkha and all that. They took those messages. But rarely I found any Gita telling us that, you know, Krishna is the Param Purushottam Bhagavan, and loving devotion services to him is the ultimate goal of life. Only in Vaishnava Siddhanta we will find the Lord, the devotee and devotion service. All three are eternal. That is so powerfully, nicely conveyed. Even in Bhagavad Gita purports, Prabhupada is teaching Krishna Prem, Braja Prem. We can see that. So Gauravan Swami Maharaj has taken these 8 or 10 verses which I told you from Bhagavad Gita, and he is showing how Krishna is talking of Krishna Prem. Like, what is the 7.1 verse? Maya saktamana partha yogam yunjan madashrayah asamshayam samagrammam yatajnya sasita chruno. Mai asakta. Krishna is talking about asakti. Asakti in whom? Mai means in me, he says, in Krishna. Mai asakta mana partha. So you have to develop an attachment for me, Krishna is saying. And I will teach you how to do that, he is telling Arjuna. How you can remember me and develop attachment for me. Similarly, he is saying, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti mashritam bhajanti ananya manaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam. So who is that diving? Vishwamitra Radharani. Daivim prakritim ashritam. So Mahatmas take shelter of internal potency and Duratmas take shelter of Durga Devi, and they get punished. Like that he's saying in Bhagavad Gita. So all these truths about loving devotion service are very nicely explained even in Bhagavad Gita. Many, many verses we could quote. So that's why he explains Braj Prem in Bhagavad Gita. So the end of Bhagavad Gita he says Mamekam Sharanam Braja. While talking about surrender to him, Krishna wanted to tell us, I have many, many devotees surrendering to me. Like you read Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita. So many devotees. Different levels of devotees. But then Krishna wants to give a clue also. Surrender to me in the mood of Prajabhasis. That will please me the most. He says, that's why we discussed about the personality of Nanda Baba and Yashoda and admiration of Uddhava for them. We discussed that Vraje Prasiddham Navanita Chauram, the butter thief, who is also the stealer of the hearts of his devotees. And one should be very willing and very enthusiastic and eager to give one's heart to Krishna. Not just give only money, or not just give only some little service, but one should give one's heart to Krishna. So when one gives the heart to Krishna, then Krishna occupies, then Tadatmyata comes. Tadatmyata means one becomes a Krishna Maya. The Krishna Mayata comes. Krishna Maya means like the gopis or Yashoda Ananda, that Krishna Maya. And once that Krishna Mayata comes, that's why there is Shravana Dasha, Varana Dasha, Sharana Sampati Dasha. You go stage by stage. And then one will be able to appreciate the personalities of Vrindavan, like Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka. Like Nanda Baba, Yashoda, Sridhama, Sudama, Madhumangal. You can appreciate these characters. And then we can appreciate their nature to own Krishna. Their nature to own Krishna. Just like Jagannath Mishra was owning his child, Nimai Pandit. Krishna was owned by Yashoda and Nanda. They considered Krishna as their own child. Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's. That kind of tadatmyata will come by both these things, by study of the pastimes and by chanting of the holy names. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving his wonderful books like Krishna book. By reading Krishna book, anyone can understand what is Krishna Prem. It is just oozing out of the book. It's full of juice. And Prabhupada very mercifully presented Krishna book because he knew that he may leave the body before completing the Bhagavatam commentaries. So he wrote the Krishna book. Later on, when other disciples wrote the commentary, they took from Krishna book. For this, Prabhupada says this. Like that, they took from different commentaries from both Krishna book and Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada explains these subtleties very beautifully in his purports. I find the more I read Prabhupada's books, I feel it's oceanic. There is no end only in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, from our point of view, developing love for Krishna means taking this message given by Prabhupada very seriously in our lives. First of all, if we are reading it, hearing it, that means we are serious about attaining Krishna prema. We are not like Uddhava. Even Uddhava's level is very high for us. But we are at least able to understand the difference between Uddhava and Nanda Baba by hearing these pastimes. We should be considering ourselves very fortunate even for that. But we have to read. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is so much. Whatever is there in Bhagavatam is put in Bengali verses. In Chaitanya Lila, more and more deeper and deeper, subtler. So Gauravanda Maharaj says, the ocean is called as Ratnagarbha. Ratnagarbha means what? If you are floating in the top of the ocean, you will get only fishes. But you dive deeper, you will get Ratna. In the womb of the ocean, you will get Ratna. Similarly, this purport we should read, we should delve deeper, remember and repeat, and then we will be able to bring out pearls and jewels and Navaratnas from this ocean. And then pearls and jewels like realization and understanding of the scriptures, that will awaken Krishna Prem. By that association, we will get Krishna Prem also. By associating with great personalities. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. So I'll conclude with a 5-minute song.
Yasho Mati Nandana Vrajavaranadara Yasho Mati Nandana Vrajavaranadara Gokularan Janasana Gokularan Yashumati Nandana Vrajavarana Jara Gokularan Janasana Yashumati Nandana Vrajavara Nagara Gokular Gopi Paranadhana Madana Manohara Gopi Paranadhana Gopi Paranadhana Madana Manohara Kaliyada Manavirana Amala Harina Amiya Vilasa Amala Harina Amala Harina Amiya Vilasa Vipina Purandara Navina Nagara Gora Nanda Godhana Rakavala Navina Nagara Gora Vipina Purandara Navina Nagara Gora vanti vadana suvada. Rajajana palana asura kula nashana Rajajana palana Rajajana palana asura kula nashana Rajajana palana Ninda godhana rakavala Ninda godhana rakavala Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara Sundara Nanda Gopala Sundarananda Gopala Yamuna Tatachara Gopi Vasanahara Yamuna Tatachara Gopi Vasanahara Rasara Sitat Pamaya Rasa Rasika Kripa Moya Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Bhakti Vinoda Shraya Bhakti Vinoda Shraya Bhakti Vinoda Shraya Bhakti Vinoda Shraya Bhakti Gokula Rangana Tara Gokula Rangana Gopi Paranadana Madanava Nohara Gopi Paranadana Madanava Nohara Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you.
राधे राधा बिहारी राधा सिंध बिहारी राधे जय राधे जय राधे जय जय श्री राधे
కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి నితాయ గౌ ప్రేమానందే థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్.